Still in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And then a very special welcome to all our visitors here this morning. And if you are here for the first time, we would like to invite you to sign our visitors book. And our ushers, please be very, very ready with the visitors book and go up and invite our friends to sign our visitors book so that we may be able to keep in touch with them. And today is a very wonderful day. It's summer, right? 28 degrees centigrade today. And well, we thank the Lord for the four seasons. And in Sydney in particular, we want to thank God for the very, very good and mild weather that we have here. And thank God, I think we have almost weathered the winter. I think we are none the worse. I don't see anybody getting seriously ill during this winter. Thank the Lord for that. Now, the topic this morning is, Lord, I love you. And I want to speak from Psalm 116. And just two verses from 116, if you would turn to Psalm 116, I'd like to ask to consider two verses. Psalm 116, and then verse 1. Let's read together verse 1. I love the Lord, together. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. And then look at verse 8. Read this together also. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I love the Lord. Now in Australia, of course, we don't see many idols here. We rarely see them. But in Asia, in Singapore, Malaysia, in Hong Kong, I imagine also, we see lots of idols. And most times the idols are very, very fierce looking. And I suppose the makers of the idols want to make the idols as fierce looking as possible so that the worshippers of these idols will be very, very terrified by them. Now, can you imagine an idol worshipper loving his idol or loving his God who is very, very fierce looking? I suppose it is difficult for a worshipper to love his God if his God is so fierce looking. I think he's more terrified by his God than he's loving his God. And his thought, I suppose, would be to try to appease his God rather than to love him. Now, can a person love the one true living God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength? What do you think? I think it depends very much on what he conjures up in his mind, what God is like. Now, if he thinks of his God as being an absentee God, it's very hard for him to love this God. You see, when he needs this God is not around to help him. So how can he love such a God? So it's hard for him to love an absentee God. But friends, our God is not absent. The God of the Bible, the one true living God, the God that we worship, is not an absentee God. He is the ever-present God, the omnipresent God, the God who is everywhere. But more accurately, the God in whose presence we are always. I think that would be a more accurate way of saying describing the omnipresence of God. Yes, he is present with us all the time. And Lord Jesus Christ, before his ascension, said this to his disciples. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now remember who is speaking. He is the Son of God, and he's also God the Son. And he says, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The one true living God is with us all the time, who are believers, until the end of the world. And he's present with us, in us, of course, in the person of his Holy Spirit. And in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, we read about this God of ours. He is omnipresent. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So he's always present with us all the time. He's not the absentee God. So we can love him. He's not absent. Now then, sometimes people think that God is a bully. Now if God is a bully, then how can you love him? Yes, people think that God is the Almighty God, and that's correct. He's the Almighty God. And then they perceive man as being very weak, very puny, very helpless. And that is also correct. But what is wrong is this, is that some people think that God will deal with people in any manner he pleases, yes, without any care of morals. And that if he wants to mistreat somebody, he can mistreat somebody, that person. If he wants to treat a person well, he will treat the person well. If he doesn't like it, he will judge that person and he will send punishment to that person. In other words, he's a bully. My dear friends, the truth of the matter is our God is not a bully. This God of ours is the great and good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. My dear friends, that is how much he cares for us. He went to the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood for us. So friends, we can love him because he is the good and great shepherd. And then some say that, well, we can't love him because he is so harsh, he is so stern. But friends, the truth is, God, in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is our perfect high priest, one who is perfectly sympathetic with us, one who understands us perfectly. And the Word of God has this to say about himself, about this high priest. He is not one who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all ways or in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So friends, in all ways he was tried, tempted like as we are. Does he not sympathize with us? Is he not able to sympathize with us? Of course he does, and he's able to sympathize with us. My dear friends, he's not the harsh and stern God. And then he invites us to come unto him. He says to us in a very, very tender manner, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see how tender our God is, so kind, so gracious. No, my dear friends, he's not harsh and he's not stern. Can we love such a God? Yes, we can. And some think that, oh, he's just too busy. So busy that he doesn't have time for us. He is too busy taking care of the whole wide universe, and he is too busy attending to the affairs of this very troubled world, and therefore he has got no time for us. But what's the truth? The truth is our God cares for us even unto the minutest detail. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says this of our wonderful God. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." He cares for us. Think of it, not a single hair from our body can fall out of our body without his permission. Doesn't he care for us? Sure, my dear friends, he cares for us. He has time for us. So can we love him? Yes, surely we can love him. And some think that God is not a God of love. He's spiteful. He sends people to hell. How can he be a God of love? But what is the truth, my dear friends? What is the truth about this God of ours? This God of ours is love. God is love. He loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross of Calvary. And as we said, let's never forget that Jesus is the Son of God and he's God the Son. And look at what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Look at what he did for us. Look at the kind of sufferings that he went through for us. And it's very, very well described for us in Isaiah 53. Which says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. My dear friends, he bore our iniquities. All the punishment that was supposed to come down upon us, he bore it for us. Is he not a God of love? Absolutely, my dear friends, the God of love. Can we love him? Yes, we can love him. But can we love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength? Perfectly. Can we do that? Of course we can't, alright? We can love him, but we can't love him perfectly. But even though we can't love him perfectly, if we are indeed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, we must have this inclination to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sure, we can't love him perfectly, and that's true, because of the remnant of the sinful nature in us. But friends, if we profess to be believers in the Lord, and we truly are believers, then in us there must be this inclination to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The psalmist says here, he loves the Lord. Look at Psalm 116, verse 1. Now, why did the psalmist love the Lord? Now, verse 1 says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. That's the reason why the psalmist loved the Lord. In other words, I love the Lord because he has heard my prayers. And now in gratitude, the psalmist was loving the Lord in return. Now who was this psalmist? Now we do not know who this psalmist was, but this psalmist, many people believe, was the great King David. Now if he was the great King David, then the Lord had indeed heard his voice and his supplications on many, many occasions. Yes, the Lord had indeed heard his voice and his supplications. When? For example, in the day of his weakness. Yes, of course, when we think of David, we would think of him as a great hero. But he had his times of weaknesses. And the Lord heard his voice and his supplication in the day of his weakness. Now, for example, think of the time when he went out to fight against Goliath. Surely, my dear friends, he would have experienced God's answering his prayer to strengthen him so that he could fight Goliath. Now, I sometimes feel that the portrayal or the description of this account of David fighting against Goliath could be misrepresented in our Sunday school teaching. Yes, sometimes the account comes across as if this great hero was some kind of a superboy or superhero, that he didn't have any sense of weakness and he was not at all fearful. But friends, let's get real. David was a human being. He was a young man, a young boy. Now, even great sportsmen in the crucial moments of their contest can feel very weak and can feel very nervous. Haven't you seen that on television? I'm sure we've seen that. We've seen great tennis superstars. Ordinarily, they have no problem serving the ball. But when it comes to the last shot, the last ball, when he's about to deliver the last ball, I can tell you that he's very, very nervous. And sometimes he feels so weak and so nervous that he double falls. That last ball that he's supposed to deliver. Haven't we seen that before? Yes, my dear friends, we have seen that before. So in the case of David, I dare believe that he knew when he went out to fight Goliath that he was weak. And at the same time, I dare believe that he felt fear in his heart having to face that giant of a Goliath. But he trusted the Lord, and the Lord empowered him and enabled him to overcome Goliath. And surely for many days and for many times after that event, David, on looking back, will surely be giving thanks unto the Lord. Don't you think so? I dare believe he would be. He would thank the Lord for delivering him, for enabling him to overpower Goliath. And he would be saying this to the Lord, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that great day. Thank you for giving me that victory. Lord, I love you. I love you because you heard my voice and my supplication in the day of my weakness. Now think of the times the Lord heard us and spared us when we were ill. We were so sick we could not get out of bed. and we were diagnosed with an incurable disease, or one that is very debilitating. But amazingly, the Lord healed us. Or if He didn't choose to heal us, He gave us that special strength so that we were able to bear that witness. Just as He gave Paul that special strength, that special grace to bear his witness. So, how did we react? Yes, He healed us, or He gave us that special strength to bear the witness. So how did we react? Surely, my dear friends, we reacted with great gratitude unto the Lord for hearing our prayers, for hearing our voice and our supplication in the day of our weakness. And then we look back, and with gratitude, we say, Lord, thank You for healing me. Thank You for strengthening me in the day of my weakness. Lord, I love You. I love You for what You did for me. Will we do that? Will we say that? I dare say that many times we will do that. Now, David loved the Lord because the Lord heard his voice and his supplication also in the days of his troubles. Now, did David experience many troubles in his life? I tell you, he experienced many, many troubles. And the thing of the time, as we said last week, when he was not king as yet, and he was pursued by King Saul. And you remember we said that, David said that between him and death, the distance was just the width of his hand. That was how close death was to him. And Saul was very, very jealous of him. Saul wanted to kill him when he knew that David was appointed by God to replace him as the king of Israel. Yes, in fact, he was so desperate one time that when he was in trouble, that he escaped into enemy territory. He went to the land of the Philistines. The Philistines and the Israelites were enemies. He went to the land of the Philistines. And of course, there he was arrested. And then in order that he could escape from the hands of the enemies, what did he do? He pretended to be mad. All right. And the Lord delivered him. And I'd like us to read of the experience of David when he was in enemy land and when the Lord heard his voice and his supplication in the days of his trouble. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I keep a finger at Psalm 116. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 verses 6 to 8. The psalmist says, and it's David here, he says, this poor man cried. Of course he was a poor man, right? For having to pretend to be mad. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. You see, the Lord delivered him in the days when he was in trouble. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And he says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. David thanked his God and expressed his love for his God. God was very kind. God was very gracious to him, delivered him. He thanked his God. And now he said he loved his God. He didn't say in so many words. But how do we know that he loved his God? Now we know that he loved his God because he was so grateful to the Lord, and he said this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In other words, he was so thankful to his Lord. He loved God so much that he invited other people to come and taste of the goodness of the Lord. And that, my dear friends, is what we must do. If we say that we are very thankful to the Lord, if we say that we love Him, that is what we must do. We must invite people to come and taste of the goodness that we have experienced. Come, taste of the salvation of the Lord. Come and share in the salvation that I've received from the Lord. If we love the Lord, that is what we must do. Now, think of the many times that we were in serious trouble. It might be the trouble could be a poor decision or poor judgment we made in our life. And it was a costly mistake. It could be a decision that jeopardized our career. Or it could be a decision that caused us to nearly go into bankruptcy. Or it could be a situation over which we do not have any control at all, such as the current economic situation the whole world is in.
And then during those times, what did we do? We went on our knees and we prayed, and the Lord heard our voice and our supplications in the day of our trouble. He delivered us. And in gratitude, we said at that time, and today we say again, Lord, thank you. Thank you for delivering me in the day of my trouble. Lord, I love you, for you heard my prayers in the day of my trouble. Now, David loved the Lord, also because the Lord heard him, heard his voice and his supplications in the times when he was going through uncertainty. Now, let me show you one incident in his life when he experienced uncertainty. I think I did mention this before. There was this city called Keilah. Keilah belonged to the country of Israel. One day, Keilah was invaded by its enemies, the Philistines. And David at that time was still a fugitive running away from King Saul. But by that time, he had already gathered a small army. And he went to Keilah and he delivered the city of Keilah from the attacks of the Philistines. Now, we would think that the people in Keilah would now be very, very kind and very grateful to David for delivering them. Were they? Now, then later on what happened was King Saul with his army came after David. And David, it occurred to David that the people in Keilah might be not before him. And he wasn't sure. He was uncertain. He was going through a period of uncertainty. And he sought the Lord. He asked the Lord whether the people in Keilah would deliver him into the hands of Saul. And you know what the Lord said to him? Yes, they will deliver into the hands of Saul. And so he very, very quickly led his army and left the city of Keilah. The Lord heard his voice and supplication and delivered him in the day of his uncertainty. Yes, surely David would be very, very grateful to the Lord for such a delivery. And when he thought of such a delivery, surely he would be very thankful to the Lord, and surely he will say to the Lord, Lord, I love you. Now think of the times in our life in which God clearly showed us his will for us, and we were going through periods of uncertainty. Now, did you ever experience such a period in your life when you were going through uncertainty? Now, I remember clearly one stage in my life when I was going through a period of uncertainty. And my wife and I were here in Sydney. There were problems in the church, as most churches will have problems. We also had problems in our church. And there were those in the church who opposed the position that I took in the running of the affairs of this church. Now, the opposition at that time, for some strange reason, was so strong that we felt that maybe we should not be serving in Sydney any longer. Maybe we should leave Sydney. Maybe the Lord wanted us to go somewhere else to serve him. So we brought this matter before the Lord and committed the whole matter to him. And we said to the Lord, Lord, if you wanted us to stay here, then you must intervene. And did not the Lord intervene? He did. He did, thankfully. There were those who were very uncertain in the position that they took concerning this matter in the church, stood with me. Yes, they changed their position and stood with me in the position that I took. And so the Lord gave us very, very clear direction. Yes, you and your wife are to continue to stay and serve in Sydney. And so with tears in our eyes, we went on our knees and we thanked the Lord. We thanked the Lord for giving us very, very clear direction. Yes, in showing us his will in the day of uncertainty. Should we not love him, my dear friends, for all that he has done for us? Should we not love the Lord for delivering us in the days when we were weak, in the days when we were in trouble, in the days when we were experiencing uncertainties? Should we not give thanks unto him? We should, my dear friends. We should be very, very grateful to him. And should we not love him? Yes, we should. We should love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And friends, don't just say, Lord, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't just say that. Express your love by serving Him. Don't just say, Lord, I love you with all my heart, soul, and strength. But manifest that, manifest your desire by serving Him and say, Lord, I will serve you, not only love, but serve you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, the psalmist loved the Lord. I'm going to my second point now. Because the Lord had delivered him from death. The Lord delivered him from death. Look at verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Friends, we must necessarily love our benefactors. Think of your good doctor. Yes, very good to you, very able doctor, who ably diagnosed your case. He diagnosed your chronic and your painful ailment, and then was able to prescribe a cure for you. And you were healed. Would you not be grateful to the doctor who treated you? Surely you would be very grateful to him. Would you not love him for what he did for you? Surely you would. I remember watching on television the testimony of this wife of a famous man, Mrs. Jane McGrath. You heard of Jane McGrath? Yes, Mrs. Jane McGrath. And she was suffering from cancer. She's the wife, by the way, of our famous cricketer here, Glenn McGrath. And she was suffering from breast cancer, and this cancer spread to the brain. No surgeon in Australia dared treat her case, but she consulted this surgeon who was reputed for venturing into areas which other surgeons didn't dare to tread, or still do not dare to tread. And so he performed a keyhole surgery on this woman's brain, and apparently the surgery was a success. And on television, I remember seeing this woman expressing her gratitude to this surgeon that treated her. Would Mrs. Jane McGrath, would not Mrs. Jane McGrath love this doctor for the successful operation? And would she not thank him and love him for giving her an extension of life? Surely she would. Yes, surely she would. Now, if you were in Jane McGrath's position, would you not thank your surgeon for doing that for you? Would you not love your surgeon for doing that for you? I'm sure you would, yes. Now, then think of the time when you needed counseling. You needed encouragement. You were depressed. Then you lost your job. You lost your social status. You lost the respect that other people had for you. But then you met this wonderful counselor. He was very sacrificial. He took time to counsel you from the Word of God. And the counseling was excellent. It was a success. It was a success because he brought you back into a right relationship with the one true living God. And you were very, very strengthened because of this right relationship that you have with the Lord. Now, would you not be very, very grateful to this person who gave you those good counseling, that counseling? Surely you would be very grateful to him. Would you not love him for what he did for you? Surely you would. Or you might be in financial trouble because the breadwinner in the home suddenly died. You are in serious trouble. Now, I know of one such case. Actually, yes. There's this woman who gave birth to her third child. And then on the day of delivery, the husband very, very excitedly came to the hospital. And in the excitement, he collapsed and he died. He died. Yes, she was a young widow suddenly, and there was no way that she was going to be able to support herself and her three children. And a very, very kind man, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ with his family, then decided to take this family into their premises, to allow them to live with them for a time until she was able to find a job and be financially stable. Now, was this woman ever grateful to this man and his family? Yes, very, very grateful to them. Now, friends, my point is this. If we are able to be grateful to our doctor, able to be grateful to our counselor, able to be grateful to our benefactor, to our teacher, and so on and so forth, should we not be grateful to the one who delivered us from eternal death. Should we not?
We should.
The psalmist says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." Indeed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has delivered us from eternal death. And this death, my dear friends, is death in hell and being separated from the one true living God. Death in hell. You know what hell is like? Of course, we do not know what it's like, but we know that it's a place of torment and it's going to be, it's a very, very terrible place. None of us would not want to be there. Now, you know I suffer from macular degeneration in my right eye, and every 6 weeks I've got to go for an injection. Now, after the injection, I feel some discomfort. And most times, the discomfort is bearable. It's like having a little grain of sand in the eye. And that's the kind of discomfort I felt, or I feel still. But occasionally the discomfort is almost unbearable. And I wish during those times that there would be some kind of relief, that this discomfort could be removed immediately. But once the discomfort set in, there was no way of stopping it. The discomfort had to run its course, and it would usually last for a day or so. Now, then the discomfort goes. But what if the discomfort stays with me every minute of the day for the rest of my life? My dear friends, that is some hell. Yes. But think of it. Now, if this discomfort lasts not only for this life, but it goes on and on and on and on for all eternity, my dear friends, that is even more hellish. But friends, the real hell is far, far worse than the kind of hell that I just described to you. Separated from the one true living God, the person who is in hell. And this torment lasts forever and ever and ever. Thank God. Christ has delivered us from sin and from hell. He bore the punishment that was supposed to fall on us onto himself. Yes, he has delivered us from the pains of hell. He bore the pain for us. I could have told you this story before, but I tell you again. During the days of Oliver Cromwell in the 17th century, there was a young soldier who was sentenced to death because of his cowardice. And he was to be executed at the time of the evening bell. But when evening came, when the bell was supposed to sound, it didn't sound. Upon an investigation, they found the reason as to why the bell didn't sound. You see, what happened was a young maiden was clinging hard onto the clapper of the bell, preventing the clapper from striking the bell. Yes, and who was this young lady? This young lady was the fiancée of this man who was to be executed. She loved him so much that she was willing to sacrifice her hands for him. My dear friends, our Lord Jesus Christ gave us more than his hands. On the cross of Calvary, my dear friends, he gave his all for us, shed his precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary. Yes, should we not be grateful to him for saving us from eternal death? Should we not love him? My dear friends, we should. We should love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And not only say that we love him, but actually express our love by serving him. Serving him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. The psalmist loved the Lord because the Lord had delivered his eyes from tears. Look at verse 8 again. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Think of the lives of many who have been destroyed by sin. Some go to jail because of covetousness. They coveted, they stole, got found out, and they went to jail. And then some contracted AIDS and died of AIDS because of their sexual sins. And some sink into gutters, deep gutters, because of alcoholism. And some are brain damaged because of the drugs that they took. And some destroy their families because of the adultery that they committed. Think of the tears of bitterness, the tears of regrets, the tears of remorse shed by these people. But friends, did you realize that you and I could have been such people had not the Lord saved us? Did you realize that? So the Lord has indeed saved our eyes, or delivered our eyes from tears. Let us be very, very grateful to the Lord for saving us. Let's love Him because He has delivered our eyes from tears. And know this truth. Know this truth. One day, our eyes will be completely, absolutely delivered from all tears. You know, it's going to happen someday. And it's going to happen when the Lord sets up His new heaven and new earth. We read in Revelation 21 verse 4, such a wonderful verse, we must read it. Let's turn to Revelation 21 and verse 4, but keep your hand at Psalm 116. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Okay, let's read this wonderful verse together. Alright, let's go. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. How wonderful. The Lord has delivered our eyes from tears, and one day He's going to completely and absolutely deliver our eyes from all tears. Next, the psalmist says he loves the Lord because the Lord has delivered his feet from falling. Verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I love the Lord because He delivered my feet from falling. Yes, even after we are saved, let us never forget that there is still the remnant of the sinful nature in us. It is true, we have been saved from the penalty of sin. One day when we stand before the Lord is going to say, I remember your sin no more. It means the Lord is not going to hold our sins against us. Yes, we will not be penalized for our sins. That will not happen. But friends, while that is true, today we are still capable of sinning because we still have the remnant of the sinful nature in us. And we need to be saved from the power of sin every day. Yes, we must. Now you would remember the incident involving Peter on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested. Before the Lord was arrested, this was what He told Peter. I think it's good for us to look at this passage. Luke chapter 22. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and verses 31 to 34. Verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. Keep your finger at Psalm 116. Luke 22 verse 31. And the Lord said unto Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee. See? The Lord said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, the Lord said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Yes, Peter needed the Lord to pray for him. And the Lord prayed for him that he might be delivered, so that his faith might not fail. Now just as Peter needed the Lord to pray for him, we need the Lord to pray for us also. And is He not praying for us today? He is, my dear friends. Peter, the Lord has ascended up to heaven. And today He is seated at the right hand of God. And today He's praying for us. What is the substance of His prayer, my dear friends? It is that we might be kept in the most holy faith. Yes, and so we read in Hebrews 7, 25 and 26. Alright, I think good verses for us to look at also. Hebrews 7, 25 and 26. Two very familiar verses. Hebrews 7, 25 and 26. Let me read them for you. Wherefore, Jesus is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us. In other words, he is such a high priest who is able to meet our every need, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He is our high priest, and he is not one who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sins. Friends, we need his intercessory prayer to save us from sin. And indeed, my dear friends, every day he is praying for us so that we might be delivered from the power of sin. Paul knew this when he wrote to the folks at Philippi. And so he said this, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was very, very confident that the folks in Philippi and himself will all be kept until the day of Jesus Christ. How did he know? He knew because he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was praying for those folks in Philippi and praying for him also. And thank God, my dear friends, today he's praying for us so that we may be delivered from the power of sin every day. Should we not be grateful to him for all that he is doing for us right now? Praying for us, delivering us from the power of sin. Should we not be loving him? My dear friends, we should and we must. So, can we love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength? The answer is yes, but not perfectly because of the remnant of the sinful nature that is in us. But if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have this inclination in us to love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, mind and our strength. And as we said, don't just say that we love him. Show that we love him. And how do we show that we love him? By serving him with all our heart, our soul, our mind and our strength. And the psalmist says in verse 1 of 116, Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Friends, we must love the Lord. Think of the many times when he heard our voice and our supplications. In the times of our weakness, in the times of our uncertainty, in the times when we were in trouble, my dear friends, he heard our voice and our supplication. Therefore, we must love him. And the psalmist says, I love him because he has delivered my soul from death. He has delivered my eyes from tears, and he has delivered my feet from falling. Surely, my dear friends, we also have the same reasons for loving him. The Lord has indeed delivered our soul from eternal death. Indeed, he has delivered our eyes from many tears and much tears. And surely, he has delivered our feet from falling. And most important of all, my dear friends, he has delivered our soul from eternal death in hell. Yes, from eternal punishment. Should we not be grateful to him? Yes. Should we not love him? Yes. We should be grateful to him and we should love him. We must love him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And express that love by what? By serving him with our heart, soul, mind and strength. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord, for loving us. Thank you for delivering us in the times when we were in trouble, when we were in uncertainty, and Lord, when we were weak. We thank you, O Lord, you heard our voice and our supplication. We thank you, O Lord, for delivering our soul from death, from delivering our eyes from tears, and for delivering our feet from falling. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Teach us, O Lord God, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And Lord, we pray that we may not only say that we love you, but that we may express our love for you by our service unto you. Help us, O Lord, that we may be able to indeed serve you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. In Jesus' name, Amen.